In a world where there is a scourge across the land, taking the very life breath of the people. A world rife with snorers. One man and one show stand tall in the battle against sleep apnea. That man is Richard Webb. That show is the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show. And the time is now.
Wake up, America. Wake up. The CPAP Show. This is your host, Richard Webb. My sidekick associate and chief economist, Jason Rodriguez. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Rich. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. We're here talking about sleep disorders this morning, CPAP problems, people with sleep disorders that have predominantly obstructive sleep apnea as their major condition. Some of the focal points today we're going to be addressing are allergies. This is allergy season. People that have sleep disorders and have allergies have a double whammy. And we have some good patient questions that have come in over the past 2 weeks, and so we're going to address some of those. A lot of people don't want to call into the radio show, and so they'll send us an email at the CPAP show at monitormedical.com, and they can write in their questions and ask about why is this and why is that. And I think it's kind of like when you're a kid in school and you have that dumb question you're afraid to ask the teacher, like, do I have to put my name on the report? And of course you don't ask it, and you fail the test because, or you fail the paper because you forgot to ask that one question. And so often our patients who do things on CPAP and they just forget to do something minor, it's bad. You know, you forget to turn the heater on, you forget to turn the humidifier setting up on a cold, dry night. So that's what we're here to help you answer. So give us a call on the CPAP show, 713-439-1560.
You know, I woke up this morning, Richard, and I looked at my clock, and it said 6 o'clock. And I'm thinking to myself, yes, I get an extra hour or two for sleep. And then I remember that it was daylight savings, and we lost an hour. So it was really 7 o'clock, so I jumped out of bed, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, man, this really sucks, you know. We get an extra day. I mean, we get an extra hour of sunlight, but we also lose an hour of sleep. And it got me to thinking of, you know, we do this intentionally, you know, to save with electricity. You know, whoever came out with daylight savings, I don't know why they came out with it or the reason behind it, but that's
one of the farmers.
It was the farmers that did that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, them farmers.
It was the farmers that wanted to have an extra hour for their kids so they could work harder.
That's what it is. Okay, well, you farmers, you guys were brilliant for having that idea, but it sucks for me because, you know, I lost an hour of sleep. But I got to thinking of how many people with OSA are losing sleep without even really knowing it. And us here on Daylight Savings, this is the one time of year we actually do it intentionally. And we wake up, and I mean, I'm tired. Most people are tired waking up, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning when it's really thinking, you know, hey, it's supposed to be 5, but it's 6, or 6, it's, you know, 7. So it just got me thinking about that as well, you know, how that plays a role. And, you know, for us to kind of realize what OSA is for people who live with this disorder on a daily basis, because they're losing hours upon hours of sleep and they don't even realize it, and how taxing it is to the health of the individual who's dealing with that. So, I mean, it just got me to thinking a little bit about that with daylight savings.
That's an excellent tie-in. Obstructive sleep apnea, OSA, obstructive sleep apnea. That means you choke when you sleep and you wake up. And people say, I slept 10 hours. I don't remember waking up. Well, it's because every time you have a choking episode or an obstructive event, your brain says, uh-oh, take a breath, hurry up, take a breath. And then finally, you take that deep sigh. And when your body does that during a deep sleep, you actually come up out of that REM sleep. You come up and wake up enough just to take a breath, fall back asleep, fall back deep asleep, and begin to choke again, to begin to obstruct again. And this is what happens repeatedly during OSA, during obstructive sleep apnea. You have these repeated choking events. And that's why after sleeping 6, 8, 10 hours, you wake up exhausted. Just like Jason this morning, who woke up an extra hour early, he felt tired. Well, it's because he cut his sleep an hour. And with positive air pressure, the CPAP, this is the CPAP show, with positive air pressure, it splints. That's the word we use. It splints the airway, the back of the throat, the side of the neck, the inside of the neck, and it splints it open like a cast holds an holds a leg if you've broken a leg. It holds it in the right position and allows the air to go in and out so you don't have your back of your throat fall in on itself. We say it's collapsing, and it allows you to breathe without choking, and it allows you to breathe without waking up. So obstructive sleep apnea is a series of occurrences that occur over and over and over again during your sleep, and the severity of it is measured by how many times during the night that you wake up. And obviously, the more times you wake up, the worse it is, because if you think back about getting a phone call, that terrible phone call for those people who have kids and the phone rings in the middle of the night and you wake up and then you can't go back to sleep. Well, that's kind of what it is when you have OSA. You wake up repeatedly. You take a breath and you fall back asleep. You may not remember the next morning, but that's what you've done.
You know, and when that's happening, you know, the brain sends off that adrenaline that wakes the person's body up to get them to breathe again. And then it's a repetitive cycle that goes on and on and on for the duration of the night. And, you know, not only does the person who is afflicted with the disorder suffering, there's also the spouses that are in the bedroom with them that are suffering as well, because, you know, they can't sleep. And, you know, one of the things that kind of really got to me, you know, about, you know, this time of year, you know, allergens and stuff like that. But, you know, the temperature changes this past week. My daughter got sick again and she's real congested. And last night I was kind of observing her while she was asleep. And I noticed that she was doing a little bit of it was quiet, but it was a snore. And I would notice that like about every 15 to 20 minutes, she would make a little move. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, hey, she's a little bit congested. She's a little bit sick, so she's not able to breathe fully properly, so she was moving. And it got me to thinking about people who have OSA that are constantly tossing and turning because they're trying to sleep in a position and their airway is continuously collapsing and the brain is saying, here's this adrenaline to wake your body up to say, breathe. And then that individual is turning to the side to try to find some relief. But if the severity of the apnea is higher, even on the side, it doesn't really work, and they're constantly tossing and turning. And that's how people wake up, and they feel so restless, and they feel so tired, and they feel like, did I even go to sleep last night? And that's what CPAP's takeaway is, that tossing and that turning, because when somebody can breathe properly and their airway can stay open and they can get a full night's rest, they usually don't move that often, and that's where the body starts to get that natural nourishment that it's supposed to have by that good sleep, and you're not moving and tossing. And that's, you know, one of the things that I kind of noticed.
You know, you mentioned your small child, and as adults, our airway in the back of the throat is about the size of perhaps your thumb at the widest point, and it perhaps as small as your index finger at the more narrow points. But if you think about how tiny a child's fingers are, you know, about the diameter of a green bean, when they have an allergy or they have a bad cough or they have a bad cold, the throat swells up. And it doesn't need to swell up that much, but so suddenly the diameter of that 4 or 5 millimeters across suddenly is 3 or 4 millimeters across because they're sneezing and coughing and they have these allergy type reactions, or they have a sore throat or a cold. And when that airway gets smaller, it's very easy for them to obstruct. And that's the same thing that happens during obstructive sleep apnea. What you saw was probably OSA in your child, because children can have OSA. We typically think of OSA in the guy that's overweight, that has a very thick neck or no chin. But you can be a skinny old lady, and I'm sorry about the ladies out there. You can be a skinny guy. You could weigh 112 pounds. But if your anatomy is such that, like Jason's child, if the back of the throat is small, it's very easy to obstruct. And that's kind of one of our tie-ins for allergies, because allergies tend to cause the restrictions in the throat, cause a reduction in the size of the airway. People that have had their tonsils taken out have actually a little bit more opening in the back of their throat. But if you've never had your tonsils out, like in your child's case, the opening of the throat is very small, very easy for them to obstruct. If you think about it, if you've ever been to a restaurant and somebody performs the Heimlich maneuver on somebody, they're choking. They've been eating something and a piece of meat they're chewing in it, and it clogs up their windpipe. That's exactly what happens during obstructive sleep apnea. They go to breathe in, and there's a piece of meat over their opening of their windpipe. It can be their epiglottis. It can be in the back by their tonsils. But it's a choking. That's exactly what it is, just like in allergies. And at this time of year, I'm looking out over a very hazy, rainy, foggy, which is actually good for the pollen in the air, because all this rain helps eliminate and wash the air, so to speak. But all these microbes and microscopic pollen that everybody is breathing in causes an allergic reaction. This allergic reaction to trees and to grasses and to ragweed and to live oak and to cedar trees that's falling off. You get green powdery stuff on your shoes. That gets in your nose. It gets in the back of your throat. And it can actually worsen your obstructive sleep apnea. If you're a borderline case and you're experiencing allergic reaction, you're going to have definite OSA. You're going to be very tired in the morning. If you have severe OSA, or in the case of a small child, you have small airways, that's the same thing as what OSA is, and you have an allergic reaction, the tissue swells, your nose is itchy, you get a runny nose. All these compete with the little bit of space in the back of your throat. So we're going to talk about how to manage your equipment in this allergic time. How to deal with this the bad weather when it occurs and there's a lot of pollen in the air. It's interesting. I Googled up this morning allergies, and it really focused on the general term hay fever, which was because you can have an allergic reaction to a bee sting, or you can scratch your arm and it'll get red. All these things are a type of allergic reaction. But in our case, when you have a sleep disorder and you have a positive airway pressure mask, you need to be able to breathe properly. You need to be able to breathe in, and you need to be able to breathe out. You're listening to the CPAP Show. Give us a call with your questions,
713-439-1560.
And we're back to the CPAP Show. 713-439-1560 is the number to call in. We're talking about allergies, looking outside on a beautiful rainy day in Houston, Texas. Want to thank our sponsors, ResMed. Skin It product is a really great product out there right now, guys. For those of you who didn't hear the commercial, Skin It is basically a product that allows you to be able, to disguise your CPAP to your home environment. You know, most people are sports fans out there, and you know, I've seen a couple of logos, the University of Texas logo for one, and there's also the, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers, there's a Houston Texans logo, all different type of logos that
allow your grandkids, if you want to put a picture of your grandkids on your machine.
Well, my daughter's only 2.5 years old.
Or so. Your dog. You put a picture.
Put your little poodle, your little chihuahua, your Great Dane.
A picture of your goldfish. You can upload your goldfish. You know, I checked into the Skin It product that ResMed has. This is a product that's not actually made by ResMed. It's made for the ResMed device. It's made by Skin It, and they're the company that makes the design covers for laptops and for
cell phones,
personal items that are cut just exactly for the shape of the equipment. And their top selling item in general is family photos. You'd think that the sports fanatics we have listening out there would want to have their Houston Texans on their machine. But in general, it's pictures of their kids, pictures of the family dog, you know, pictures of that hunting trophy that 12-point buck that they got, you know.
Did you hear about that guy that caught what's the fish for tuna, whatever it's called? But it was a record.
Albacore or
something like that, but it was one of these most desired tunas that people would pay upwards in hundreds of thousands of dollars to have. And this guy, he caught one of the biggest ones, and he said he wants to put it on his wall, but he's not too sure his wife's going to allow him to replace the 10-pound bass that he already has there. So, I mean, I just thought that was really cool. But, you know, Skinnert is definitely a great product, because what I see, Richard, is that a lot of people come into the office, and it's all about perception. You know, they come in there a little bit intimidated in the first place, because they think that the CPAP that they're about to receive is this big health device that is going to take up half of their bedroom. And they don't realize that, you know, CPAP technology, the evolution of CPAPs over the past 32 years have been tremendously upgraded in the past 5 years. I mean, most of these newer machines, and especially the ResMed units, they kind of look like the iPhones, you know. When you look at the display screen, it's very easy to read. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to change. And it looks more modern and high-tech. So you see the younger demographics that we're starting to see come into the office, where the 23 to 33-year-olds, you know, they're starting to catch the OSA in the early stages, opposed to waiting to where in their 50s and 60s, where the risk of having a heart attack and having a stroke goes up and diabetes comes more prevalent. So we're starting to see more people actually get to the idea that CPAP is something that works, especially if you can catch it in the beginning stages, like, you know, the younger demographics. So when they come into the office and they see the newer upgraded models like the ResMed S9 Elite, they're pretty much, perception-wise, their attitude has changed, because it looks like something that belongs in their bedroom, like their phone, because their iPhones, it's a similar display. It's just not touchscreen, mm-hmm. but it allows you to see things in a different light. So now seeing it that way and then being able to apply a product like Skinnert to it, I think is a really another great step in the right direction for people who are getting involved with CPAPs, because we're seeing that it's not exclusive to the guy who weighs 350 pounds who plays offensive line for the Houston Texans. Or it's not the extreme overweight guy who's sitting on the couch eating Doritos all day, every day. It's not just limited to that type of demographic. It's also the younger, more healthy people, because it's all in the upper airway. And it's funny how the tissue around it, the muscles, the uvula, the soft palate, the tongue, all of these variables play effect into whether or not somebody is going to have OSA, because that diameter of the airway is so narrow and there's so much around it that can play a role into collapsing the upper airway. So we're starting to see more doctors become aware and become conscious to the fact that not getting a good night's sleep is a direct correlation to an unhealthy lifestyle. And that's what I was kind of talking about with my daughter, you know, is that, you know, when she gets sick, she's more crankier during the day, and it's because she's getting restless sleep. You know, she's constantly tossing and turning, trying to get a good position so she can breathe, because her nose is so congested. And there's so many people out there who fight the similar battle who have OSA, but then they also have allergies. And then that compounds the issue, because everybody that comes into the office, they want the smallest mask available. And we always recommend that a patient try whatever they feel comfortable with first. And that's why a lot of people like the nasal pillow style mask that's like a oxygen cannula right under the nose, or the cone type of nasal mask that just goes around the nose, because it's smaller and it's easier. But in my opinion, when you have allergies and you are congested a lot and you end up having a stuffy nose, or you've had a deviated septum, this may be a good time to explore the options of full face masks, because in my opinion, I think a full face mask is better, because it allows you to be able to use it in every season, summer, spring, fall, and winter. But it also allows those people who have allergies, who are congested a lot, to be able to breathe with a mask, because they're not limited to just their nose. And I think that's a great option to explore, especially if you know that most of your insurances, which is 100% of them, will replace your mask, if not once, twice, or three times a year. And if you're able to do that, most of the patients that I see, they always say, Jason, what do you recommend I do? Well, why don't you try three different styles? You know, your insurance will allow you to get up to three masks a year. Doesn't mean just get the nasal pillow mask. Get the nasal pillow mask one time. The next time, get a nasal. And then the next time, get a full face. What that does, it opens up your options. And I always believe that a CPAP mask is like a shoe for the face. The more options you have, the better prepared you are for whatever you're going through. If you're congested, if you're having allergies in the springtime, you'll use your full face. In the summertime, the allergies aren't through the roof, because the pollen is lower. You know, all of the other stuff goes down. So you may be able to use your nasal mask in that particular season. This way you have options. The more options you have, the better equipped you are for success in CPAP therapy, in my opinion.
So I Googled up the symptoms of allergies, and here's real quickly. Stuffy nose, coughing, clogged ears, sore throat, dark circles under the eyes, puffiness, fatigue, irritability, headache, memory problems. And these sound exactly like the problems that you have when you have obstructive sleep apnea.
I was going to say, is that always that you're reading there, or allergies? That's
well,
really allergies?
And if you think about when you have these problems during the day, when you lay back down at night with your allergies and stuff, it's the same problems during sleep. And so you will choke and cough and wake up during your sleep. Most people don't realize that they cough at nighttime. And with the positive airway pressure mask, you even cough with the mask on, which is why, as you're talking about replacing and cleaning the products, is very important.
Yeah, you know, that's probably one of the most important aspects that I think a lot of people miss. You know, when you do a setup, and when we do a setup at Monitor Medical, we try to pay as much attention and to education as possible. And most of that education is telling somebody how to use their CPAP machine, how to connect their hose, and how to apply their mask properly. During that setup time, you go through about an hour of education, and there's a lot of information for a patient who's new to this therapy to absorb. So I always tell patients, you know, research the equipment, research the disorder, research the different products, but also maintenance. You have to maintain your equipment. You know, it's like having a vehicle and knowing that you have to change your oil every 3 months for that engine to stay to its full potential and to prevent any future problems. So when you have a CPAP mask and you have a hose and you have filters and a humidifier chamber, those four things must be maintained on a weekly basis. It's all about habit. It's all about routine. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. So, you know, I always recommend patients, you know, once a week. It doesn't take no more than 10 minutes. You know, disconnect the mask, take the cushion off of the frame. Disconnect the hose from the humidifier, take your reservoir apart, and also remove the filter. Wash one item at a time with mild detergent, wool light, whatever you use to wash dishes should be adequate, and let it sit on a towel and let it air dry. You're eliminating bacteria, you're eliminating germs. But that's just half the battle. You also have to replace it because you're not going to remove every single thing. And if you have allergies or if you get sick, you know, you end up leaving that inside the tubing, and it's a respiratory device. So to prevent any infections, to ensure you get the best air possible, you replace it on a quarterly basis so that everything is working and operating at its full potential, like getting the oil filter changed in the car, because it helps that engine breathe so that you can run fully and effectively and not have any problems. And it's the same thing with the CPAP machine.
I'm looking out the window, and it's raining. And what's interesting about that is what we're talking about is the rain washes the allergens out of the air. It scrubs the air. It washes it off of the concrete. And that's what's key about the products that we wear. And if you're wearing a mask that covers your face and it's a silicone product and it's sitting there and it's been coated lightly with the kind of dust and allergens and cat dander or dog hair dander that you might have in the house, all these things can trigger an allergy or an allergic response, which if you have obstructive sleep apnea, worsens your sleep apnea.
And you know, last year, Richard, we had such a big problem. It was almost like an epidemic of patients coming in saying, you know what, I never had allergies in my life, mm-hmm. but I am completely congested because we almost had no rain. We've probably had mm-hmm. more rain.
And that's the worst time when it's dry, because not only the pollen is in the air, nothing moves it away. It doesn't wash down the sewer, the drains.
We've had three times as much rain in this first 3 months than we had all last year. Mm-hmm. And that's really something to think about, especially for those patients that came in last year saying, you know what, I'm congested. You know, pollen, these allergies. Even I developed allergy symptoms at one time last year because it was so dry. And now we got all this rain, you know, say, careful what you wish for, because when you want it, it's going to come. When it rains, it pours. But, hey, I'm welcoming this rain. I really like it. It's a calm, relaxing. It's a movie day, time to relax with the kids and the wife. But, I mean, you definitely want to clean your equipment. You want to wash it. You want to keep it maintained so that you get the best results possible out of your therapy.
The trick to avoiding allergens, is washing your face, washing your CPAP equipment. One of the things I tell people to do, and they look at me a little bit crazy, I say, you got to wash the inside of your nose. And most people think, wait a minute. But when you shower, as you're washing your face, or for those CPAP wearers, prior to the shower, you're breathing the air, and you get allergens and pollen and dust and stuff goes up into your nostril. It lines it. It coats it. That's where you have the allergic response. So when you bathe and shower, you want to clean that off, just as you want to clean off your mask. The trick to dealing with allergens is to avoid them. The trick to having problems with your equipment is to clean it and make sure it stays fresh, doesn't start growing its own mold, because you can have an allergic response to the mold in your mask. We're talking about allergies and allergic reaction and obstructive sleep apnea here on the CPAP Show. Give us a call,
713-1460. Listening to the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show. I think this song may have come out before I was born. I'm not really sure who it is. Who is that, Kyle?
Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick, okay. Like I said, maybe a group that came out before I was born, maybe?
Yeah, I think this was in the late 70s, early 80s.
Before I was born.
We need some Pitbull.
You want some Pitbull?
We need some Pitbull. When we come back in on the next segment here on the CPAP Show. 713-439-1560. We want to send out a thank you to our other one of our sponsors, Hibernite. Hibernite is made by a company called Plastiflex. They make a heated wire circuit that can be used on any CPAP machine. It's a nice aftermarket. You know, Jason, since you and I have been in this business, we see a lot of companies that have come out with products that are made that are non-specific to a specific machine. When ResMed or Respironix makes a product, it's meant to go with their equipment. And there are more and more companies out there that are making add-on devices that can be used to replace sort of upgrading what you have. And the Hibernite tubing, Hybernite, the Hibernite tubing is a heated tubing that is a standard 6-foot length, but it has a thin coil of 12-volt wire that wraps around the length of the hose for the CPAP hose, and it warms the tubing so you don't get spit in the middle of the night. If you've ever had that experience of getting water in your nose, we want water on the grass. We don't want water in our nose jetted in there at 60 miles an hour at 3 o'clock in the morning. And what people do when they start getting water in their tubing at nighttime is they say, oh, I'm going to turn my humidifier down, or I'm going to turn my humidifier off. When they turn their humidifier off, they get less moisture in their breathing passage, in their upper airway. And when that occurs, you get the same symptoms as we talk about with allergies. You get drying, you get sort of a scratchy throat, a cracking. And when that occurs, that generates an obstruction, and that worsens your sleep apnea. If you happen to be on an auto-adjusting device, an auto-type device like the ResMed S9, if you're auto, and your throat gets dry because there's not enough warm, humid air going through, the pressure actually has to push harder on the machine, which is more uncomfortable, and you have sort of a reactive response. You have a harder time breathing against it. Sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night because the air pressure is higher than you can stand. And it started off lower in the night, but as your airway begins to get drier and harder and scratchier, it chokes you. And then you have to wake up and take the mask off, or perhaps you just take it off altogether and don't wear it for the rest of the night. So Hibernite is a good product. You can go in and add it on any of the older machines. If you've got a device, there are plenty of machines out there that are working well and running 5, 6, 7 years after they were made. you can use the Hibernite tubing on that one, and you can carry it over and use it to future generations of machines.
You know, Hibernite is really a great product. I remember when Hibernite came out, you know, heated tubing was always been a desired concept, especially when you have all that moisture in the tubing that gets trapped. And, you know, I remember there was once a time where I would always tell patients, you know, be sure that you place your CPAP at least 6 inches lower than your bed level. And they would always say, why? And I remember on one of our previous shows, you know, we talked about this Newton's law of gravity. What goes up must come down. And when your CPAP machine is higher than your bed in an old standard hose, is that moisture that tends to get trapped in that hose, it finds a downward drainage, and it usually ends up at the mask. And we would have so many people come in and complain and say, you know what, I'm not going to use my CPAP because I have a pressure of 14 centimeters, and I need to have my humidifier on 3 or 4, and no matter how low I keep my CPAP, I still develop condensation buildup in our hose. And it makes this loud cracking noise. And so many people will call saying, you know, my tubing's breaking, it's popping, my machine is popping, it's about to blow up. What am I going to do? Well, you got water in the hose. So when Hibernite came out, it changed the way people kind of looked at it. We had so many people convert over to Hibernite because of the fact that it would keep the interior of the hose at that one constant temperature and prevent the rain out, the condensation buildup. And then in turn, it gave the patient more moisture at the mask. And for me, that was a great thing. And now you see, you know, all these manufacturers coming out with other products as well that are trying to compete, and which is great. You know, it's all about making sure that the patient has comfortable, adequate night sleep with the device, because we don't want to compound our issue. You know, it's already a lifestyle modification when we get a CPAP machine. So we want to make it as easy as possible. And in the past 5 years, you've seen like this sprout of aftermarket accessories that are coming out to make life with CPAP easier. And I kind of related to back in, you know, when there was a movie that came out several years ago. It was called Fast and the Furious. And Fast and the Furious is basically about all these cars that have souped up mufflers, souped up spoilers, and all this stuff.
That was before my time.
It was before your time, Richard, for sure. You know, back when, you know, well, I don't want to go that far back, but you know, black and white TV is basically what we're talking about with Richard.
Hey, kidding.
No, but when it came out, you know, everybody, I seen like all these cars, Hondas, Acuras, they would all go to these racing stores and buy all these aftermarket products to put on their cars because they wanted to be in it. So, you know, you see with CPAPs, now that CPAPs are becoming more and more prevalent, you know, there's accessories for CPAP and companies that are coming out that can make life with CPAP easier. Like last week we had Bob and Debbie from Rimsey's, mm-hmm. and they were talking about the mask liners for the CPAPs. I mean, CPAPs have been out 32 years, and he just discovered this and marketed it in 2009. So that's just 3 years ago when Rimsey's came out. And it's basically taken a whole new level to CPAP and comfort with CPAP. So you see that there's accessories out there, and you see that there's products available for purchase for anybody who has a CPAP to make it a little bit easier. And that's why I always tell people who have OSA, if you have obstructive sleep apnea and you haven't got tested, research. Go to our website, monitormedical.com. Not only do we have every CPAP show archived from the past January of 2011, but we also have a video section that shows you products and shows you equipment so that you can research the information for yourself. Because for me, I always think that if you research it before you do it, you're going to have more success. And if you have knowledge, it's power, and power applied properly is a recipe for success. So if you do the proper research and you get yourself prepared, then it's going to be an easier transition because you'll be able to see what's out there. You know, I don't think anybody goes out just to buy one car without going to several dealerships and starting to look at different models. You know, you research what you're going to buy before you buy it. So I would think that it's a great idea to do the same thing with your CPAP and your therapy, because if you research it, and that's part of why the show is here, is so that we can inform you and educate you before you get ready to go, because a CPAP is something that's going to work as long as you wear it. So if it's going to be long-term, then that's what you want to do. You want to research the information so you can be equipped with the power to know what decision you're going to make when you get your CPAP.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to someone this morning about discussing things before you try them, discussing things before you buy them. And we have a lot of patients who come to us to get a new CPAP machine, and they're unaware of it, or perhaps they read an article on the internet about what it is, or they talked to a friend who told them their opinion of it. But honestly, this is like learning a new science. It's like learning a new language. And just because you can say como esta doesn't mean you know how to speak Spanish. And if you don't know any more than what that CPAP is, that machine that you wear at night, there's a lot to educate yourself on. You want to educate yourself prior to talking to your doctor about your sleep disorder. You want to educate yourself prior to getting the machine. You want to get the best mask and machine that's for you. Jason, I want to make sure we covered some of these questions that we have in here from patients during the week. I'm going to throw one your way. Do I need a prescription to purchase your products?
Yes, you do. When you go to a pharmacy and you get a prescription filled for whatever medication the doctor prescribes for you, you need a prescription to fill that order. And it's the same with respiratory equipment. This is a doctor-ordered industry, so you have to have a prescription to get a CPAP and even now a mask. Each year, you have to have a prescription. So if we have a prescription on file, then yes, you can get your equipment without any questions asked. But it is a prescription required.
It has to be a year old. The next item, do I need a sleep study? I'm going to take that. You know, that's one of those questions that you need a sleep study to determine the best pressure for your CPAP, CPAP device. You need a sleep study to say this is the best pressure. However, you don't need to get one. You can just get a prescription for it. But if you really want to manage your obstructive CPAP, you need to measure it before treatment and then monitor it as it goes on to make sure that what you're being treated for is being effectual.
And then you also want to be able to be tested so you know if you need a CPAP, a BiPAP, or a more sophisticated unit, because OSA is the most common sleep disorder, but it's not the only. There's mixed sleep apnea and there's central sleep apnea as well. So that diagnostic test gives them an idea of what you may or may not have. So it's always best to be tested.
There are some people that get treated with positive air pressure that actually get worse, and they need special devices, auto-adjusting servo-type machines that change pressure, give you a backup breathing rate. And the only way to determine this is if you have a sleep study. My next question is, what does the prescription have to say?
When you have a prescription, the first main thing that must be on the prescription is the type of CPAP or BiPAP you are going to be receiving with a pressure. It has to have a pressure. Most of our CPAPs range from 4 to 20, and BiPAPs go up to a maximum of 30 centimeters depending on which device you have. So it's definitely recommended to have that pressure on your prescription, and in most cases, which type of mask you will be using, whether it's a nasal, a full face, or our nasal pillow style mask. These are things that must be on the prescription so that we can adequately fill your order. You're listening to the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show on 1560-713-439-1560.
Not working hard. Yeah, right, picture that with a Kodak. Or better yet, go to Times Square, take a picture of me with a Kodak. Took my life from negative to positive, I just want y'all to know that. And tonight, let's enjoy life. Pitbull, Naya, Neo, that's right.
You're listening to the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show here on 1560.
And we had Richard in here doing the robot.
We had Pitbull coming back on us. You know, I actually like Pitbull. He's got it's good crossover music. And, you know, Selena went mainstream and crossed over from Tejano to rock and roll. And Pitbull is crossing over from whatever to contemporary. Anyway, we have a call. We have Matt from Pennsylvania. What's your question, Matt?
I have a couple questions. When I use the device, I do get a better night's sleep, but I have a difficult time, and sometimes I don't wear it for a few days because of the strange sensation of the air blowing into my nose. So my question is, how many days per month do I have to use it to get the full effect.
Well, first, Matt, I would ask you, when you say weird sensation in your nose from the air, what exactly is it? The intensity of the air? Is it just the feel?
The intensity of the air.
Do you have a CPAP, a BiPAP, an auto? Do you know?
I have an auto.
Okay. When you first put it on, do you have that oddball sensation, or is it all night long, or is it just later in the night, or after you've worn it a couple of hours? When does it really happen, all night long or just intermittent?
At the beginning, it starts out with very little air pressure, and the air pressure builds up over a few minutes. That's the kind I have. And then when it gets to the full air pressure in the middle of the night, or maybe it kicks in 15 minutes of full air pressure. Mm. So when it starts out with the low air pressure, that's good.
You know, the whole purpose of an automat is to automatically adjust itself depending on the apnea. The particular device that you may have, most of these machines, they want to duplicate each night and each breathing pattern that it senses that you have. These are how sophisticated these units are. And depending on the nose or the mask that you're wearing, it sounds like you're wearing a pillow mask that's right underneath the nostrils. When you have a pillow-style mask and you have an automatic CPAP machine, an auto device that is set for a parameter setting of 4 to 15, 4 to 20, as the pressure starts to increase, if the mask that you have is not designed to hold a higher pressure, it gives the patient a sensation of almost a burning type of feeling in the nose because the pressure is increasing, and you may want to switch your mask from a nasal pillows to one around the nose because what it does...
Nose and mouth, full face.
Or a full face, because what that does, it allows the pressure not to feel so intense. Because a lot of patients, Matt, I've heard in the past, they have machines and they have autos, and it's set for 9 centimeters to start off with and then goes up to about 15 or 16, and they start off with the nasal pillow mask, but they always say that it only works for about an hour, and then I have to take it off. And we do a download on the machine, and we realize that the patient is hovering around 14, 15 centimeters of positive air pressure, and a nasal pillow mask system is not usually the best mask for that, and it's probably just a mask issue in your case.
Good point, Jason. Matt, when the machine is at a lower pressure, certain masks fit better. Medium-high pressures, the over-the-nose mask fits better, and the really high pressures, you need a mask that covers the nose and the mouth because the device has pressure by blowing more air, and you actually get almost a sensation of the nostrils burning, and the nose itself kind of starts expanding from the inside, and so a mask that covers the nose and the mouth will prevent that feeling of that jet engine taking off inside your head. It is very uncomfortable, and as we talk about the Hibernite sponsor, it can get very dry, and the more airflow, the more drying, the more burning. It's sort of a cyclical problem, and it worsens as you go from 15 minutes to 30 to an hour to 2 hours, and it gets to a point where it just hurts the lining of the nostril. The nose is not meant to be pushed out, and that's what happens with the pillow-style mask, which is, I believe, what you have. And the pillow-style mask, if you think about it, there's two little openings, and the air jets flow directly into the nose. The over-the-nose mask, the air blows on top of the face, and so you get away from that odd sensation. I would encourage you to give a different style mask a trial, because your other part of your question, which was how many nights a month do I need to wear it? Well, every night you want to get a good night's sleep is the night you want to wear it. You have to wear this 7 nights a week, every night of the month, because without it, you start obstructing and choking, and you have these repetitive incidences, frequent nighttime urination, headaches in the morning. All these things add upon themselves to worsen the condition of your obstructive sleep apnea.
Well, when I do wear it, I do get a better night's sleep. I mean, that's really obvious first thing in the morning. But
have you ever noticed dreams? Do you dream more or less about the same when you're wearing your device?
I dream more, and they're more intense. for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want my insurance to pay for this new mask, am I going to have to wait for 3 months or?
We always say that's a good question. Each insurance company has its own rules and regulations. Each insurance company says how often. Medicare, we often quote, is every 3 months. Commercial insurances are approximately every 3 months. But at Monitor Medical, what we do is we contact your insurance company and say, what is his coverage for this particular product? And they will tell us if you're allowed to get it. I think Aetna will allow you to get a mask every month, and Blue Cross will allow you to get a mask more often if it's medically appropriate. And, you know, medically appropriate can be something as simple as what you have doesn't work.
Exactly. You know, and Matt, I would definitely recommend that you do try a different style mask. And, you know, like we talked about earlier in the show, you know, have a variety of different masks. You already have a nasal pillows mask system, and you say it works occasionally, and some nights it works better than others, and that just goes back to the point of having a bigger arsenal of masks so that you have more of a variety to choose from, so that when you're not in the mood for that nasal pillow mask, you don't go without the CPAP, you switch to a different mask, which allows you to continue to use your CPAP, and in your case, your auto-adjusting CPAP. So that's going to be definitely something you may want to look into, and I would definitely refer to go to the website, you know, monitormedical.com, and take a look at the different selections of full face or nasal masks that are out there and see which one may work or may be beneficial to you and your kind of facial texture and stuff like that. And I think that will lead you in the right direction of finding the right product, because it works only if you use it. So that's the key to remember.
And the theme today, what we were talking about on the show, was allergies. And it's the same thing as a dirty machine, a dirty mask. Remember, change your filters. If you're getting dust on your countertop and you're getting it into your machine, you're blowing it into your nose, make sure you're changing your filters, washing your mask, rinsing, and letting it dry. We'll be back here next Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Central Time, here on 1560 The Game.